Welcome back, my friends. Chef and a Fat Man, live from the Criollo restaurant in the fabulous Hotel Monteleone. And to all of our friends in Tweety Land, hello, wherever you are around the world, we thank you for the tweets. If you'd like to tweet in questions live, we'll try to get them answered for you. Chef Eric, we are so honored. We have a couple of guests in the house right now. The first guest that's here, I want to introduce him in a second. But the gentleman you remember as Isaac from the Love Boat, the man that elevated bartenders to cool and hip, he is in the house, actor and director at extraordinary talent. Ted Lang is in the house. He'll be joining us shortly. But you know, if you don't happen to have any Fee Brothers bitters with you, Chef Eric, which we do wherever we go.
Absolutely. We actually just bring Joe along everywhere.
Yeah, but he's a little laid up right now. But you know what would really help him?
What's that?
A nice shot of a beautiful cognac.
Yeah, yeah, you
I'm thinking
yeah,
a nice snifter.
A snifter of cognac. A snifter of cognac. And when I think of cognac,
yes.
I think of only one person. The best of the best. The creme de la creme. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our honor for the second year in a row to have a man who is an icon, a god, may we say, in the world of cognac. He is so cool with the accent. He's the real French deal. He is Alexander Gabriel. He is the house, I call it the house, of Franc Cognac. Alexander, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
Wow. Since last year, you're exploding. You're going all over the place. In fact, you've got now that you've conquered the cognac world, you decided to branch out into orange curacao.
Absolutely.
And my God, the critics are raving about it. Tell us about your new orange curacao.
Hello, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be here, by the way. And I saw you worked on your French roll that past year. I'm very impressed, Kevin. Yeah, it's just that's a wonderful thing.
Can you take the bill?
you speak very good.
Yeah.
So it's great to be here. We did actually, you're right, this product called Orange Curaçao, which is basically like the grandfather of Grand Marnier. It's made with the real curaçao oranges. And it's like it's a liqueur that uses cognac and the orange peels that are sun-dried. So it's and you know the curacao orange is actually a bitter orange, so it's not oversweet, and it works beautifully in a margarita. But a chef will probably agree, a lot of desserts are done with this. The duc à l'orange can be done with this.
Yep.
I just had a grandmother who died very old age, but she thought that was like something you always had to have a curacao in your cupboard because you're eating a nice ice cream. Vanilla, or you add a little bit of curacao, it's just delicious. So I wish we could all taste some, but you have to take my word for it. That's so it's cognac and orange peels, and it's distilled, you know, to be just the essence of that bitter orange that really balances the sweetness super well.
And can this be reduced? I mean, if we are using it for cooking, is it going to reduce into something that
That's actually a great question, Chef. Absolutely, you know, because it's true. You know, you can have two ways to make liqueurs. Either it's flavorings that's added, either natural or artificial, or actually the liqueurs that are made with the real fruit that's distilled. Yeah. And in that case, the chefs love it. That's why it's a very technical question. But when you cook with it, then you make reduction, doesn't turn into something different. Because if it's made with a flavoring, then, you know, it's...
It concentrates.
Exactly. And, it doesn't create concentrate as well.
Absolutely.
Ah, voilà. Huh? Kevin, you're doing good.
See? I pick up a few words. The other words, the FCC won't let me talk about. But this is a unique curacao because you actually take it from a really authentic old 19th century recipe. So it really kind of really releases the classic.
Well, Kevin, you know, you're lucky. In this country, you have some wonderful people. There's a guy called Dave Wondrich, who's an American historian, and wherever is Dave, I want to say thank you. He's a guy, he's like kind of extreme and crazy like me, and we do a lot of research together, and he researched all the making, the way people used to drink, and I researched the way people used to distill. So when we met together, you know, that's kind of our little baby here, you know. So we use the recipes from the 1800s, and I tried 50 recipes from the 1800s to distill this, and I kind of cherry-picked what I thought was the best from each of them. So you're right, the bartenders are embracing it. I'm very humbled by this and very thankful. That's wonderful.
From the 1800s, the recipe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Now, there are other curaçaos, though.
Well, there used to be a lot in the old days.
Yeah.
Then, you know, some people dropped the name curaçao of their label. Like, Grand Marnier used to be called curaçao Marnier,
yeah,
for example. And then people went maybe, I guess, on the sweeter side. But here, we're looking for the balance.
Yeah.
And also, we use a lot of little secret ingredients that are what we call vegetal infusions to push forward the orange and create an architecture around it. I mean, that would take a long time to explain.
Sure.
But there's very specific 19th century technique that I actually learned from my grandfather.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And how long has your family been in this?
Well, I grew up on the vineyard. I'm a farmer. You know, I'm a farm boy from France.
Yeah, you don't look like a farm boy from Georgia.
That's what I am. You know, I live on a farm. It's a nice farm, but it's a farm.
Yeah.
And it's a Chateau de Bourbonnais. If you guys come to Cognac, you come and see me, and we can taste from the cask, you know.
Wow.
Yes, and that's my family's been in it for a long time.
You have no idea, Alexander, what you've done. We'll see you next week.
I've got a lot of frequent flyer points.
This is where we are.
Yeah.
But you also live in a very important region in France. It's like in the heart of the Champagne region, right?
Are you right? I'm impressed by your knowledge. It's true, the Cognac region, Cognac can only be made in that little area right next to Bordeaux, right? Otherwise, you cannot call it Cognac. And actually, this is very strictly regulated. And this region has six sub-regions. It's a little bit like a target to which you throw dart. And the bullseye of this region, you have to listen to Kevin, he knows everything apparently. It's called the Grand Champagne.
Google knows everything.
Google is doing a good job. So if you see, I just want to finish on this, Kevin. If you see on a label of Cognac, Grand Champagne, don't get confused. The spelling of champagne, the same than the bubbly, but in old French, champagnes means chalky soil. So the soil is chalky in Cognac, and it's chalky in the Champagne region, but two different regions.
Yeah.
But Grand Champagne means super chalky. Some guys called it like this 500 years ago. There's nothing we can do about it. And if you see Grand Champagne on a bottle of Cognac, that means that it's only the most expensive grapes that makes this Cognac. And the Pierre Ferrand Cognac that we made, Pierre Ferrand, and that's French law. That's not some marketing story. So we make also Pierre Ferrand Cognac. It's made in Grand Champagne. So you can see on the labels written Grand Champagne, Grand Champagne. So that's the bullseye for the grapes. So that's what we do.
Now, you actually, to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Tales of the Cocktail, you did something very, very special.
Absolutely, which I think what's going on here is wonderful. I come every year. I take vitamins before and after. I take my vitamins with a very old cognac. It works very well together.
Yeah.
Remember, you said it was for medicinal purposes only. So I suggest you do that. And then, but you have to pick the right cognac to do that. Pierre Ferrand. So, and then, but more seriously, Tales of a Cocktail is just, Anne and Paul have done an incredible job. You should be so proud of what's happening here. New Orleans really created cocktails. And that's why guys like, farmers like me from all over the world, we come here. It's almost like a pilgrimage. And I've been coming here for quite a few years. And I'm not only coming for drinking, actually. We were upstairs with distilled curaçao in front of people.
Really?
I thought I was going to set the house literally on fire, a little bit nervous. But we had a pot still I brought in from Cognac. That was fun. And that's the only place I did it, is at Tales of a Cocktail, because it's such a wonderful event. It's the 10th anniversary. And I did the 10th anniversary bottling of the 1840. We'll do a signing, actually, at the Vieux Carré store tomorrow at 10. And only 650 bottles. That's, you know, you see 10th anniversary, Tales of a Cocktail. It was a way to say, hat down, you guys do a wonderful job, and you should be proud of it.
Now, it's not in the same price range as L'Hommage de Pierre Ferrand, is it?
He's got such a memory, you know. He thinks that I gave him a present of the $3,000 bottle of L'Hommage Pierre Ferrand. So we had a little sip, right? And but one day you come and see me, we'll have a little more sip about this one. But
the bottle's still out of the question.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
All right, but you've got a very special celebration for Marvelicious Marvin.
Absolutely. I decided to, this is bottle number 4, Marvin, low number. Marvin is my brother from New Orleans, you know, from another mother. And really, I love Marvin. He's wonderful. Really, I mean this. You know this, Marvin. I think he's extremely talented. He's like the guys I grew up with. Big heart. We like each other. He's a wonderful, talented man. So this is for you, and I'll sign it later for you. That's the bottle number four, my friend.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank
great,
you very
great
much.
Product.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So much.
Thank you,
bro.
Thank you
later. And Marvelous, if you wouldn't mind, you'll mix up a few drinks for us because our next guest is standing in the wings. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very, very special guest we got coming up next. It's someone that has become an icon, not only for what he's done, but as of, well, I'll tell you in just a few minutes, something very special. He is a gentleman that elevated bartenders past the CD Mannix days and Cannon days of the CD bartenders with the velvet backdrops, giving out all the dirty scoops and all the inside tales. He took it to a whole nother level. I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. It's what we call a shameless tease. When we come back, we are going to introduce you to one of the greatest actors, directors. He's done it all. He is Ted Lang, better known as Isaac. Hey! He's going to be coming up. It's all about food, fun, and celebrating the good life. Give a big hand to Alexander Gabriel as he rolls off into the sunset. Welcome, my friends. Welcome. Welcome back, Chef and a Fat Man, live from the Criollo restaurant right here at the Hotel Monteleone. Oh, my friends. My God, have we given you a show so far today. But just when you think it can't get any better, it does, my friends. I'll tell you what, our next guest, he took bartending from the sleazy backgrounds of Cannon and Mannix. The weasel guys with the velvet backgrounds and the sleazy outfits giving out all the dirty information. He took bartending to a cool, hip, and I gotta be like Isaac kind of bartender. I don't know how many trips around the world he took. That's too personal to ask. But I will tell you one thing.
Lots.
He is a gentleman. He is a gentleman's gentleman. So extremely gifted, and he is one of the rare true stars that can say he has been married. July 23rd was his, I believe, his 34th wedding anniversary. That is awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
We know him. We love him as Isaac. He is the Ted Lang. Yeah, I got him to do it back to me. I did it. I did it.
There you go. That was it. Pissed. That's right.
He's not pissed.
Right. Absolutely. There you go.
Mr. F. You know, Ted, welcome so much. You know,
thank you, sir.
Your career has been phenomenal, and you're really still getting started.
Yeah, I've been having fun with my career.
Well, we thought because bartending was something that you elevated to a whole new level, that we would have one of the greatest bartenders in the world take one of the greatest cognacs in the world and mix one just for you so we can toast together.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
Yes.
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 You sound like not my wife. Yes. Marvelous. Take it away.
You're getting stuff thrown at you.
Marvelous.
Okay, so what we've done first.
Okay, what have you done?
We rinsed the glass with a little of the Ferran Dry Curacao.
Ah, Dry Curacao. We like that.
Okay. I've taken some of the 1840 cognac.
Ooh.
Put in my shaker.
Okay.
Some agave.
Wait. Now, how much 1840 cognac have you put in your shaker?
Well, it's supposed to be one shot, but don't tell my boss that.
Okay.
I put probably three or four.
All right, that's good.
You know,
good
you know, you're kind of like me. We kinda,
yeah. We a little bit.
Then a little, to sweeten a little agave nectar.
Oh, okay.
And then just give it a little extra twist. Some Aztec chocolate bitters from Fee Brothers.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
That's your
Fee
wow.
Right there.
Then what we're
good
gonna
deal.
Do
thank you, sir.
Is we're going to shake it.
Okay. Let him shake it.
Shake.
No.
Can
you shake it.
Shake it.
There you go.
There we go.
Hey, wait. I have to have a camera on me or I can't shake it.
It's right there.
All right. There we go. All right.
Hey, Isaac.
Then what we're going to do, just strain into glass here. This is actually based on a classic New Orleans cocktail called Sazerac.
How old is that cocktail?
The Sazerac?
Yes.
It goes back to the early 1800s, before you and I were born.
I was born in the 1800s.
Yeah. Oh, that looks good. That looks good. Just to recap here, you got the orange curacao, you have the cognac, you have agave nectar, and the chocolate bitters, the Aztec chocolate bitters.
And if you don't have Few Brothers chocolate bitters, it's kind of like a day without sunshine.
That's a little bit better than the
Ted,
most bitter man.
You can appreciate sucking up the sponsors, can't you?
Yes. I've been doing it for years.
Yes.
You're just an amateur compared to what I've done.
There you go, Ted.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Gentlemen.
There you go.
Gentlemen.
To Ted and his wonderful career, which we're going to get into in a minute.
Okay.
But also to this wonderful audience that loves you.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
Ooh, baby, that's good.
You like that?
Wow.
This is really good.
That's really pretty exceptional.
What can you say?
Excellent.
Ted, while you're sitting there sipping the light, fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Because you're so busy and we have such limited time, because we could do a whole show with you.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you, this is a long way from hair.
You know I did hair? Did you
do
hair?
Yes,
yes. Yes,
and a long way from your pimp role to a bartender role.
Whoa. Friday Foster.
Yes.
This guy knows my history. Yeah. Friday Foster. Nobody knows that one.
Well,
Pam Grier. You know, wasn't that Pam Grier? Carl Weathers before he was Apollo
Creed. Yes, yes.
Eartha Kitt. Her first movie back.
Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, it was a lot of good people.
Did you have to do any real studying for the Isaac role? Or did it just... I've just met you a few minutes, but it seems like it was such a natural for you.
Well, I thought you were going to ask me if I had to do studying for the pimp role. But you're asking... You're asking me about the Isaac role.
Hey, listen, with an anniversary as you've had, I think the pimp role is kind of out of the question.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, you do. Any part that you take, you're going to have to do some homework on it. You know, I mean, it's just like as a mixologist or a bartender, you got to know what's in your bar. You got to know where it is, how to do it, how to mix it, and you got to practice. So, yes, absolutely, I did homework.
Now, let me tell you something. The lovely ladies have made all this happen for you. What a great... Bullfrog has been absolutely wonderful for us.
Wow.
They bring us the best of the best. And this is great because this is really like a coming home for you, isn't it? To be involved. I mean, when you think back to the mid-80s and now you're being celebrated as a bartender all these few years later.
Yeah.
And now this is a really cool event.
Yeah. It's a wonderful event. I'm so happy that DiSorona is there. The people that called me and asked me if I would be involved. And I said, well, who are these guys? They said, bartenders from all over the world. So I was sold on that immediately. So that's when I came out.
You know, your career has been amazing. I mean, you've been so blessed. Your mother was very talented. She did NPR.
God, you did some homework, Kevin.
Well, listen.
This guy is on it. Let me tell you. Yeah. But as a matter of fact, let me tell you this. My mother is being honored. My mother was a local broadcaster in San Francisco. And she's being honored this weekend, actually, as a living legend. And I'm going to be telling... this is a drink. I toast my mom and all of the stuff.
To your mom.
And she did. Yes. And to other mothers. Yes.
And to all the mothers we don't know.
Still living. How old is she?
She's 85.
Get out of town.
Yeah. And very vibrant and alive. And
that makes you 30... That makes you 30...
Yeah, 31.
Yeah, there we go.
No, 39.
I'm sorry, my research...
Jack Benny. Yeah, you got to do Jack Benny, yes. 39. Well, I'm 39.
You know, Isaac was such an iconic role. It really was. You really elevated bartenders to a status they had never had before. Did you feel the pressure when you were doing it? Because
The Kevin, the pressure was making the joke work. In the scene.
It's timing.
Timing. And make if you were in a love scene, you know, I had to kiss Diane Carroll. I had to kiss Diane Carroll.
Can we?
Really? Really tough work. Because she didn't know how to kiss, and I had to show her over and over again.
Can I ask you a favor? Yes. Can we reprise that role?
Yeah. No. You got to wear a dress.
I don't look good in it.
Yes.
But also, here's a little known thing about, you know, you were such a great actor for that role, and you've done so many roles in such varied ways, but then you go to Broadway. That's a whole other animal than being in front of the big screen.
Theater, stage, yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
That's immediate gratification or non-gratification.
They let you know if you have succeeded or failed immediately.
You're on stage, much like this. And
we got an audience.
But what was it like doing a one-man show? That's brutal, man.
Wow.
Because you really, that's it, baby.
You're by yourself. I did a one-man show on the life of Paul Laurence Dunbar. And for those of you that don't know, Paul Laurence Dunbar was a turn-of-the-century poet. And I did a one-man show and did his life. And one of the poems he's famous for is called We Wear the Mask. We wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt we pay to human guile with torn and bleeding hearts. We smile. Anyway, that's Paul Laurence Dunbar.
Wow. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Now, we don't have much time. Maybe we can keep you over for a couple extra minutes.
Sure.
But here's the thing, though. Now you go from that. Then you wrote a very interesting play that I thought was very challenging. George Washington's son, his first black friend as a young boy.
It's called George Washington's Boy, and it was Washington. This is a true story. George Washington had a slave named William Lee. And William Lee was with George Washington throughout the American Revolution and after the Revolution. And George Washington was the first founding father to free his slaves. Jefferson didn't do it. None of the other guys did it. George Washington did it, and William Lee was the guy that he freed.
Was it emotional for you going back and reading and researching and doing this?
You know, we don't really realize how vibrant our history is. So it was fun for me to do the research and then to theatricalize it and put it on stage.
Speaking of vibrant, we're going to have this vibrant, great, magical talent for a couple more minutes when we come back. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about... The Love Boat, baby! Isaac, actor, director, extraordinaire, headline, baby!
All right!
Welcome back, my friends, Chef and a Fat Man, live from Criollo Restaurant!
Yay! Come on!
In the Hotel Monteleone, we are having more fun because we have one of the iconic actors, directors, and another thing, a gifted writer.
Thank you. You have
written, what, 12?
No, 23.
Wow, see, I didn't do it right. 23 plays.
Wow. And I'm doing a play in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. On September 7th, we open it. If you're in Hollywood, come see the play.
Can we say we know you?
Yes, say you know me.
Yeah,
it'll
right.
Help.
Yeah, it sure will.
Get you through the door.
Oh, yeah.
But you still have to pay money once you get through the door.
That's right. Anyway, you may recognize the voice. You may recognize the voice. But he's an extremely talented man. And here's what's really neat. I got to harken back to your mother because not only was she on television, she did NPR.
Yes.
But how about politics? Did you ever think?
Yeah.
I mean, working for the mayor, baby, that's a neat position.
She worked for the mayor of San Francisco. And then later on, she was the assistant to the editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. So she did a lot of stuff. She was an inspiration.
Well, let me ask you, as young people today, I've always said that it starts with a great foundation.
Yeah.
You obviously had the great foundation. You're an inspiration for a lot of youth. You're an inspiration for a lot of young people because they look to you and say, one day, through hard work and effort, I can be like Ted Lang. You can do it.
Hopefully so.
You did it.
Yeah. And, you know what you try to do? You try to do your best. And you hope that someone sees that you're doing your best, and maybe they will, in turn, try to do their best.
My final question is for you. What has been the most inspirational moment, snapshot moment of your life?
Wow, there's a whole bunch.
I mean, the one that just...
No, there's a whole bunch. I'm trying to tell you. Kevin, this is the first time that I appeared on Broadway. That was fantastic. The first week, day of shooting Love Boat. That was fantastic. The first time that I directed a film version of Othello. I mean, there are, you know, I can't just say there's one. When I met my wife, Mary, this Mary, that's my wife. Wave, Mary, that's my wife.
Wow, and how did you do it in Hollywood, in that arena, in that area? I mean, July 23rd, you celebrated your anniversary.
No. Is it July 23rd? No. It's August 18th. August. See, I remember. Wikipedia. He got Wikipedia.
They lied.
This needs a change.
But see, what I really did that for was to see if your wife was going to be reminded that you knew.
Yes.
See, I'm helping a brother.
High five. That's it.
You know, you better hope that it was the 18th, not the 23rd, because the 23rd's passed already, and that would have been...
Oh, yeah, that would have been real bad.
That would have been bad.
18th is coming up.
Yes, it is.
I'm still in good shape.
Yes, you are.
Now, if you had one thing that you could tell the young people today, the one thing that your mother bestowed upon you that helped you become the tremendous talent success, what is it? And let them know that they can achieve it.
It's just never give up. You know what I mean? You set your goal and you do everything you can to educate yourself on how to achieve your goals and then never give up.
He didn't give up, ladies and gentlemen.
Give up.
He's still doing it. I think you just did something with Betty White's show.
Off their rockers. Yeah,
yes.
Betty White has
there
show.
We go. So I got 99.9% of it right.
99 more than that. 99.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please give a big hand to a gentleman, a talent, an icon, Mr. Ted Lang.
Thank you. What are you guys cooking here now?
Would you like to help out?
Yeah, I want to watch and help
All
out.
All right. Chef Eric, okay,
so
take it away.
Doing? What are you doing?
You're making an AT favorite.
Oh.
Okay, so let me set this up a little bit.
Cooking, yeah.
There was about a year ago, I had a team here in New Orleans. Of course, we stayed here at the beautiful Hotel Monteleone, had a fantastic time. And, I had about 15 people, and I said, you know, let's go do something a little bit different than what we had been doing, which I think HR may have had an issue with. So we decided to do something nice and healthy for the day and come do some cooking lessons. So what we did is we contacted the New Orleans Cooking School, and they are right down the street here. Give me the address.
We're at 524 St. Louis Street.
524 St. Louis Street.
Charters and Decatur.
And I'll tell you what, you go in there, first of all, they've got a nice retail area where you can buy all sorts of great spices and aprons and all sorts of stuff. But you go back into the kitchen, and they tell the story about the cuisine of New Orleans and where it came from. And I learned, I mean, I thought I knew a lot about New Orleans until I started learning what all the food influences were for
is this
the...
Is burning, is it?
Yeah, there you go. No, it's not burning. That popcorn smell, that's what you want.
All right, I just don't want to make sure.
Yeah,
I'm
no, you're doing good. Keep getting in the edges
okay,
there. There you
the
go.
Edges, all right.
We'll transition you over to the cooking side of things from the bartending side of things.
Okay.
Don't do it, Rev.
Stick with the alcohol.
Anyway, so I asked the New Orleans Cooking School to come in today. Gretchen, wherever she is.
You wanted to get brown rices?
There you are right there. And they were nice enough to bring us in, or bring them in, and not only cook a recipe for you today, which is going to be fantastic, but to tell a little story about the New Orleans Cooking School. So take it away. What are we doing here?
Well, Ted's making a crawfish etouffee. And we really do attribute that more to the Cajun culture than anybody, because they're the ones that actually developed the darker ruse. They had very little to work with seasoning-wise, so they took the classical French roux and they darkened it up a little bit, and that provided them with the flavor they needed to change the food. When you make a roux, you never, ever stop stirring it. Ever.
Oh, is that right?
Now, we used to say even if your kids were killing themselves, you let them. Because it was actually cheaper to have another child than it was to buy flour. Flour was extremely expensive, so you didn't want to waste it. So you get it basically to about the color you want it, and then you stop it from cooking by throwing in a mirepoix. In our case, that's onion, celery, bell pepper. We were not French Catholics. They had to be. Louis XIV was required to make everybody speak Catholic.
No.
When you got three vegetables, onion, celery, bell pepper, that's known as the Trinity. Later, the Pope comes along. That's garlic. You throw that in. And everything's got to have garlic in it. And you get it moving that way. And we're going to throw a little bit of this Joe stuff in. And I know I'm in competition with the two chefs over here, because you got your own
We have our own.
I will be honest, Joe's stuff was the very first all-purpose seasoning blend ever.
But by the way, I will say Chef and the Fat Man Love Rub is available at chefandthefatman.com.
There you go.
Just click on shop.
Yep. And ours is at newarlandschoolofcooking.com. Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Anyways, get that in, get the flavor. When Joe Kahn started the school 32 years ago, he was leaving Paul Prudhomme's employ and took Paul's concept of blending your dry spices. That's where they all started. That's where
absolutely,
you
yep.
So it's all there. I'm going to turn you back on so you get a little more heat going on this guy. And you just get it the root of the color you want. Stop it with the Trinity. Add the Pope in. Get it going.
Now, what is the Trinity again?
It is onions, celery, bell pepper. That's ours. That's our miracle.
Should not be confused with the other Trinity.
Yes. What is the other Trinity?
Is onions.
Fun and holy.
No.
No.
Onion, celery, and carrots.
Yes. That's a totally different thing. We
now,
didn't
you
get
know, my Trinity is bell pepper, onions, and garlic.
Okay. And it depends on your background and your culture. That
yeah.
At the school, I spend most of I went there to teach history. I couldn't find a better place to hold an audience captive for a couple of hours to get the real story about Louisiana out there. And if it wasn't for our food, none of us would be doing these things today. Food gives us credibility back. And if you analyze it and get through the whole history lesson, you discover that it's the only real American cuisine.
Absolutely.
Well, is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
And simply because, not because we wanted it to be a racially blended culture down here. We couldn't get French Catholics to come and live here. So we just made anybody who lived here a French Catholic. And by the time the Americans got here, the Germans who grew the vegetables for us, we get a lot of Jewish families that move in at that time, pretending to be French Catholics. The Africans, Native Americans come in here, give us okra, bay leaves to go into the cooking pots. Every culture that comes to Louisiana gives us their 2 cents
no
to go into the pot.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, that's the amazing thing, is people think of New Orleans cooking as maybe Spanish, maybe French. That's kind of it, right? But really, it's German. There's African influences. There's influences from around the world. That's all crab boil, isn't it?
That's all pepper. All peppers. You put that on so you
look at that.
Yeah, liquid shrimp and crab. Crawfish crab boil.
Liquid concentrate peppers right
that
there.
That is delicious.
Now, I've got to tell you something. To get that roux to this color, if you see this, and you're getting some samples right now, that's pretty amazing to get it in that speed. But I got to tell you just a little trick here. Did you see what he created, the fat that he created the roux with?
Oh, yeah.
You know what that... What do you use for a roux? Does anyone ever make a roux? Butter, oil, lard. Lard.
This is pure pork fat that right here.
Yeah. Lard.
We are not.
Why are you pointing at me when you say that?
Hey, how much weight did you lose? You're getting a slumpy
23 pounds.
Was it tough?
Yeah.
I thought so.
You hey, guys,
let me tell you something. 1 pound is tough.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you something, Kevin. 1 pound is...
I lose 23 pounds and gain 30. And
yeah.
It's a losing game.
Lard is the best meat fat you can eat.
That's true.
Lard has 25% saturated fat, butter 36, 3% cholesterol in lard, 10% in butter.
They need to change the name, though.
Well, no.
I mean, it shouldn't be called lard.
No, nope, you know why it's a problem? The federal government will not admit that they made a mistake in telling us to eat trans fats called vegetable shortening. Those are the worst
absolutely
things to do. Make up a lot of this, guys. Don't make up a little bit. Make it as thick or as thin as you want. Your roux is a little bit darker than this one because I had a little more time at the school. And do not put your seafood or in this till the very end of the cooking time.
Oh, is that right?
You make a whole bunch of this like this, then you can freeze it up the way you want it to be, and then take out what your family can use, and then the day you're going to serve it, you throw in whatever you want. It works good with chicken. There's a lot of stuff you can put in this. It's great as...
look at
one
that
of our restaurants has a crawfish etouffee that they
Cat
cover the top of a goat
to
cheese
like you
filled wrap. That's unbelievable. So you did a good job at making that.
Thank you, sir.
And this is a crawfish etouffee, if I saw that right before it was going in. I don't know. Is the engineer going to want a little bit of the crawfish?
I promise she can have some.
Yeah, she's a crawfish addict.
That's her engineer. She is my wife of 23 years.
No, congratulations.
The sea beast.
Hey guys, starting this Friday, we're beginning our hands-on classes from 6 to 9. You come in and you make it like Ted's doing it, and we're doing them on Sundays from 3 to 6 as well. So come on down. It's the new program we're just beginning where you get to do the work.
I've got to tell you, it is one of the most fun things to do in New Orleans. During the day, you can come through there. You've got a variety of chefs.
There's eight different chefs.
Chefs. Really fantastic. But anyway, when we come back after the break, we're going to be back with New Orleans Cooking School. Maybe, Ted, are you going to be able to hang out to finish off your dish?
I don't know. What time is it?
All right, we'll see.
Maybe, yes.
So we'll see you back after the break, right after this.
That's a fine answer.
I got to check with my...
Welcome back, my friend, Chef of the Fat Man, Ted Lang is out of the house. Wow. Did you ever think coming here that you're going to be cooking with Ted Lang?
No, never. I'm just thrilled. Absolutely
well, that's
thrilled.
Because you're good. Chef Eric, you know how good he is.
I'll tell you what. Again, I've got to reiterate this. You got to get down to New Orleans Cooking School and take a little class. They've got classes where you can participate. And classes where you can actually just sit and watch, and they've got a great setup so you can see everything that they're doing.
Big mirror overhead.
Yeah, you got a mirror overhead there, and they're so engaging. There's such a history of New Orleans that you won't get anywhere else, I promise you, because they tie it back to the food that we've come to know as New Orleans cuisine, and it's just an amazing experience. So I appreciate being here, and I'm just impressed that this quickly you got a roux made that's that good. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Well, good. And, you know, there's no right way, there's no wrong way for any of this. So if you'd like the roux that you had that was a little bit darker because I had a little bit more time to do it, that's fine. Onions and celery, bell pepper trinity, garlic, the Pope, green onions, and parsley thrown on at the very end like this was known as the blessing. So we got all of our Catholic in there. You did a really good job there. So, yeah, it depends on what you want to do. So if you guys that have had some with the darker roux, you want to try the lighter roux, come up and get that, too. Okay.
So, you know, when I made a gumbo, we did a gumbo festival down in the Gulf region. And it was a pretty amazing event because we competed. We placed third place amongst some professionals. And it took me 2.5 hours to make my roux.
This is the lighter one.
There you go. You got both of them on there now. It took me 2.5 hours, but I never stopped stirring. Never stopped stirring.
Good. That's the key.
Elio told me to do some really good stuff.
Oh, good. So, thanks. Yeah, I know Elio.
We all know Elio.
So the crawfish you prepared, the crawfish was cooked.
Right. These are Louisiana crawfish. Please, guys, when you're out there buying crawfish, read the labels carefully because a lot of those imported crawfish do not have the fat in the bag. And it's the fat that gives the flavor to this. If you don't get that fat, you're going to get a little piece of cardboard.
So how do you prepare that Louisiana crawfish prior to adding it to the...
Well, you can buy these now frozen, pound blocks of frozen. But if you're going to take and boil them, you put them live. I usually purge them in salt water because they're a freshwater animal. Pull them out. They're nice and clean. Then you immediately drop them back into a big, big colander full of boiling hot water, Joe's stuff, crab boil, all the heat, lots of lemon, bay leaves, whatever you want in there. Boil them down. They'll take you maybe 3 minutes to get them to sort of rise to the surface. Then shut the pot off. And let them sit no more than maybe 6 or 8 minutes and then put tons of ice down on top of them to stop the cooking process and infuse the flavor in there. If you don't, they're going to be mush by the time you do it. Then you got to rip the head off, suck it, peel it, and then throw the crawfish into a bowl and save them. And what you do is you do a big family boil like this, and then nobody eats all the crawfish. You don't let anybody leave. So they sit there and help you peel all the tails.
Absolutely.
And then tomorrow they come and get the crawfish etouffee because they help peel the tails.
Let me give you the one exception to the rule, though. our engineer over here.
I just heard that.
There is absolutely no crawfish left in the restaurant.
When she's finished?
At the all-you-can-eat, when she comes into town, there's an alert system from TSA. All the restaurants shut down their all-you-can-eat crawfish offerings in order to accommodate. But anyway, so is there anything to do with those shells after they're done?
Oh, yeah, you want to put them into a big... Well, if you take the... They used to do the head.
Yeah.
And stuff it with a crawfish filling. Now they take the thorax, which is more the bigger section of the first section of the cell, and that's what they're going to stuff. It's a lot easier to stuff. It's a lot of work. And then you do a really nice crawfish bisque out of those. If you're down here for Jazz Festival, one of our restaurateurs goes to Jazz Festival. It's the only place I've seen it that you can actually get crawfish bisque out there in the world, and it's great. His name is Emil Bakke, and he's with Little Dizzy's. You need to try his food. It's up on Esplanade Avenue. By the way, if you're around on Saturday morning with some time, please patronize the local market. It's on the corner of Magazine and Girard Street from 8 until noon. Get out there, and you can take all the shrimp and crab meat you want home. The jumbo, the U12 shrimp, right, the last time I was there, was like $5 a pound. And there's like under 12 to the pound. They're huge. And the crab meat, I think, there that weekend was $21 of jumbo lump for pound, which was very reasonable.
Whoa,
at the time.
Very good price.
Go to the market. It's all locally grown, locally. And try to cook that way. Whenever you can, cook with the freshest you can.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, sometimes your hands are tied at the school. We use what we've got, but do it.
I got a question that's been bugging the heck out of me.
How bad?
And you know I can get bugged very easily. But I'm looking at these people that are coming up for seconds and thirds. You cook like this all the time. You cook all these wonderful dishes. You teach everybody else how to cook. What in God's name are you doing at about $1.30 a pound?
Well, I don't eat the stuff. No. Because of school, when we first started, there were two chefs, Kevin Graham and I, you think you guys are fat. Kevin is 6'9" and 400 pounds. Big, big man.
He's a big boy.
I'm not
going
to come here and say I was the
fat. His name is also Kevin.
It's called credibility.
That's it.
Credibility.
Never trust a skinny chef.
I get that everywhere I go. Never trust a skinny chef. But we were the only ones cooking, and so sometimes you're cooking 3 and 4 classes a day. Well, if you don't eat it, the audience thinks there's something wrong. You didn't like it. I've had more people come up on days I didn't. Is there something wrong? You didn't eat it yourself. So you have to eat a little bit. So you do that for 10 years, and you just don't eat a lot. So I eat 4 or 5 meals, small, tiny little meals a day. That's what I do.
I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
That's totally the wrong way to eat.
Well, I know. I should be in golf.
4 or 5 little meals a day is totally the wrong way to eat. I hope the FDA is listening. A small breakfast, maybe 2,000 calories. A big push at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so you cut out lunch. And then you eat a 6-course dinner. And then you go to bed because it's all worked its way through by 10 or 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, you hope.
Yeah, that's great advice, Kevin.
Yeah, that's exactly how
if
I would do
that. If you follow the fat man's advice,
the fat man's
you
advice.
Too, shuttle down.
It would be the lowest selling diet book ever, I think.
No, I would think it would sell a lot because they say, don't buy this book. Andy Hoffman made a fortune out of Don't Steal This Book. I learned from, and Quiggs is back there. Oh, yeah, I had a copy of that book. I got it. But anyway, my friends, wonderful, wonderful. And, you know,
thanks.
I haven't had a chance or an honor to be to your school while it's working. I've stepped in and seen it. It's awesome.
You're going to have a good
and
time.
It's a destination location when you're in New Orleans.
We were the number one travel destination on TripAdvisor last year, and hopefully we're still up there this year. So you guys come, write good reviews for us.
It really is worth it. Give us the address again.
And I know that man back over there.
Uh-oh.
Keith Donata, just standing there ignoring everybody. It's 524 St. Louis Street. We're between Charters and Decatur Street, half a block off of Decatur, Nola's restaurant is next door to us.
Oh.
Nola's is next door to us.
It's nice that you let them in there.
Yeah.
We were there first, so they can come in and say that.
And what's the best way? Do they need to make a reservation? How do they...
You can do everything online right now. It's real simple. You just go to NOSOC.com or New Orleans School of Cooking.com, pull up the reservation system. If you're already in town, don't have access to a computer, come over a few minutes before class. We were sold out today. We couldn't have gotten another person in. I think we've got 35 or 40 on the books for tomorrow morning, so there's still room. The 2 to 4s are usually always open. So if you don't have access to a computer, can't do it ahead of time, make sure you get in there as early as you can so we can, process it.
He's very good. What a shameless suck up to the corporation.
Thank you guys for having us. We appreciate you coming down and doing this.
Chef Eric, what an amazing show. My God, we went from the chef de cuisine from Criollo.
Yep.
We had the awesome New Orleans cooking school. I mean, we had two of the icons in culinary in the city. And then we had a television icon in Ted Lang. We had a cognac icon in Alexander Gabriel. I can say French fries. And it was all brought to you by a family, my friends, a family who has been an icon in this country. This country was founded on one thing and one thing only, American exceptionalism. We are the best when we put our minds to it. Nobody can do it better. Whether it's a cooking, the ultimate cooking vessel of Ed Fisher and the Big Green Egg, whether it's Schumann Produce bringing you the best real sweet onions, or when you go all the way back four generations to 1863, and the Fee brothers and their family have been mixing it up ever since then, and they haven't skipped a beat. We thank each and every one of them to the fabulous Criollo restaurant, Chef Eric. Yes. We thank, of course, all the people that made this possible. The She Beast, my wife, Karen Jenkins, our engineer, to Mike and Deanne Stock. Deanne did something she's never done before. She was a video, whatever she was.
Video segment producer.
And a pop of pepper snapping the pictures and giving me the inside skinny that I needed to know. And you couldn't do it without a great partner, a great friend, a great chef who has taken our website and elevated it to another level and our culinary to a level higher than that. Executive Chef Eric Holdo. And of course, it's all about sponsorship. Fee Brothers, 3 years, and I hope it's just the beginning of a long and wonderful family relationship.
Like
Fee Brothers, we love you. And of course, hey, quick, settle down over there. She's married. But to the lovely and talented Joe Maynard. Awesome. Yes. Thank you, Chef Joe. Criollo Hotel Monteleone. And remember, we are here today because of our troops and our first responders. God bless them. God bless America. God bless you for being here. We'll see y'all next time. We love you, New Orleans.
Thank you.